ABC Radio Australia.
Now New Zealand's paleontologists have a bone to pick around the absence of a fossil emblem for the country. What's a fossil emblem, you ask? Well, luckily, we're joined by Dr. Nick Rawlins, the director of the Otago Paleogenetics Laboratory at Otago University. He's part of this campaign to create a New Zealand fossil emblem. Good morning to you, Dr. Rawlins.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, and please clear this up for me. What is a fossil emblem and why do you think New Zealand should have one?
So a fossil emblem is a national fossil or a regional fossil, like the state emblems in Australia, that epitomises the natural history of the region and can tell local stories. So in this case, a fossil that can really tell the story of how New Zealand's life adapted to the dynamic geological and climactic past that we have. And it'd be really good for New Zealand to have one. We don't like to admit, as New Zealanders, that the Australians have got a good thing going, but in this case they do. And we have such an exquisite fossil record that can really help tell our stories and for community outreach, educational outreach, for promoting paleontological research and funding, but also the plight of fossils needing protection and fossil tourism as well.
Well, if it gives you any solace, I wasn't aware that Australia had a fossil emblem to begin with. But there in New Zealand, what are the options? Who are the front runners there to represent the country?
So we've just started the campaign and we're seeking public feedback of what should be on the shortlist, about 10 to 12 fossils. But there are options that we can think of. We could go for something really flashy like the Haast eagle, which went extinct about 600 years ago, which was the biggest eagle in the world at the limit of flight, about 16 kilograms. We could go for a giant moa or a plesiosaur, Kaifekia, that's 75 million years old, discovered just up the road from our house. But there are other options. We could go for some of the smaller fossils, like 500 million-year-old trilobites, or something historically significant, like the first fossil pioneering paleontologist Joan Whiffen found in New Zealand, the first dinosaur fossil. But equally, we could have what you'd say is a fairly mundane fossil, like a fossil shell, but it's widespread across New Zealand that can be easily found and easily seen by budding young paleontologists and kids that they can hold in their hand and really inspire paleontology.
Wow, so there's a long list there. I mean, you mentioned earlier that one of the reasons New Zealand should have a fossil emblem is because it teaches us about the history of the country. Do you have an example of that? How can these fossils actually help us understand the geography and the history better?
So one good example is the moa that we had in New Zealand that went extinct about 600 years ago. And through paleontology and looking at their shape, but also radiocarbon dating those bones, working out how old they are and looking at the DNA, the genetic whakapapa or genealogy preserved in those bones, we can see how they adapted to climate change through the ice ages, how they respond to changing distribution of their preferred habitat through time, what their diet was, and ultimately, were they in decline or were they stable before human arrival? So we can learn a lot from these fossils with new techniques.
Now, I often hear with these fossils, it's go big or go home. We love looking at the big, big fossils in the museums. What's the biggest one that New Zealand has? Do they have any contenders, or are we talking about small shards of bone and shells?
No, we do have some contenders. We've got a giant ammonite, which is a relative of like the Nautilus and squid. And you're talking about probably the size of one of the tires in the big vehicles that drive in the mines. This is probably about over a meter wide, a meter high, and this was discovered in the side of a road on the west coast of the North Island.
Wow! So this is a squid, did you say? An ancient squid?
It's an ammonite. It's related to squid, but yeah, really giant fossil that was discovered in a road cutting, and there are casts of it around New Zealand.
I mean, it sounds like from what you're telling me, there are so many fossils in New Zealand. Is this common in most places to have such a wide range of fossils to choose from?
Yeah, and Australia's a good example of the fossil record of Australia stretches back hundreds of millions of years, and you can just look at the fossil emblems that are in Australia, like WA and New South Wales have got fossil fish. The ACT's got a 500-million-year-old fossil brachiopod, which is a type of mollusk. Australia's picked an animal called Spragina, which it's from the Ediacaran fauna up in the Flinders, which is the first animal on the fossil record whose left and right sides mirror each other like ours do today. Victoria's picked a 125-million-year-old giant amphibian, and Queensland's currently going through a public vote. They've got 12 candidates. They've got dinosaurs and extinct marine reptiles and a crocodile, a monotreme, and a plant in their shortlist. And it's the same with New Zealand. We want to have 10 to 12 candidates the public can vote on, and each of those candidates in their own right could be a fossil emblem for the country, and they all tell a different story about evolution of life in New Zealand.
Yes, it sounds like both Australia and New Zealand are spoilt for choice here. If you are just tuning in here on Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia, we're speaking to Dr. Nick Rowlands, the director of the Otago Paleogenetics Laboratory. We're speaking about his campaign to create a New Zealand fossil emblem. Now, let's head a bit more east from New Zealand and take a look at the Pacific. Are there any interesting fossils there that you could become an emblem themselves?
Yeah, there are. There's a really good fossil and archaeological record in the Pacific, and there are some quite cool candidates that could be the fossil emblem. There's a group of terrestrial or land crocodiles. We call the Mesosuchine crocodiles, whose fossils are found throughout New Caledonia, Fiji, and other islands. There's the Meolanid turtles. So in Australia, listeners may be familiar with an extinct turtle called Ninjamese, named after the Ninja Turtles. And that Meolanid family is spread throughout the Pacific as well. And we find their fossils also in New Zealand about 20 million years ago. But one of the big candidates, if you're after a big bird, there's a bird in New Caledonia called Sylviornis. And it's got a relative in Fiji. And these birds are about 1.5 to 2 meters high. And they're related to chickens. And they went extinct shortly after human arrival in New Caledonia and Fiji. So there are these really charismatic fossils that could become emblems of Pacific Islands or the Pacific as a whole.
Well, now I'm just imagining 2 meter tall birds there. I mean, it sounds like a lot of these ancient creatures or these now extinct creatures are very, very big. Is there any reason behind that? You mentioned the massive relative of the squid earlier as well.
Yeah, and especially around in the island ecosystems like New Zealand and the Pacific, is when animals arrive in those ecosystems, they tend to fill job vacancies or roles in the ecosystem that allow them to get big. So in New Zealand, we've got the giant moa. We've got the world's largest parrot, the kakapo. We have the world's largest eagle, harst eagle. In the Pacific, you had these giant turtles and these giant birds. So quite often, you actually get what we call gigantism evolving in animals on islands. With the ammonite and for some of the other fossils like mosasaurs, which are an extinct group of marine reptile closely related to snakes and varanid lizards. And in this case, if you become the top predator in an ecosystem, you're generally quite big. So it's these job vacancies these animals can fill that allow them to get really big.
Very interesting. And just before we go, because we're nearing the end of the show, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Rowlands, you're not a paleontologist, but a paleogeneticist, I understand. What's the difference here?
So a paleontologist looks at bones that are fossilized and looks at their shape and their morphology and everything. So a paleogeneticist, as we look at these same bones, but we try to get DNA out of these bones and reconstruct the genetic whakapapa or the genealogy. And so we tend to work with bones up to about 1.2 million years old, whereas paleontologists can go a lot further back into the past.
Wow, fascinating stuff. And thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Rowlands. And can't wait to find out the new fossil emblem of New Zealand.
No, thanks for having me on, and we'll keep you posted.